I was reading this morning and came across some scriptures that really jumped out to me because, you know, we've been taught some things, and there are some scriptures that could back up some of the things we've been taught. But the letter of the law without the spirit of the law, you know, it just kills you instead of giving you life.
Yep.
And in our religious training in the past, we've been taught in ways that's caused us to judge people. And we look around and we see people doing certain things. I mean, like murder. Let's just take Hitler, or take somebody guilty of mass murder, kidnapping, abusing and molesting women or children, or the gay community, homosexuals. And we've had thoughts in our mind that some people are just so evil they can't be saved. And you know what? That's not true. That is not true.
Amen.
And God did not leave us on this earth so that we could start an institution of religion where everybody who wants to live for God could hide from the whole world and judge everybody else. We might as well have gone on to heaven. He wants us to reach people.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Amen.
So in Matthew 11, I began thinking about some places that would have repented under certain circumstances. And there's nobody, no people group, no type of evil person that cannot be brought to Christ under certain circumstances. So I wanted to find out, what is it that could make that difference in a life? So in looking at chapter 11, verses 20 through 24, then began he, Jesus, to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now he's just told a city, you are going to hell. Well, so did Sodom. But guess what? There must be degrees of hell. Because Sodom will be able to tolerate better their hell than you will yours. And guess what? Sodom, who was destroyed by fire because of how wicked they were, and I know we all want to say because they were homosexuals, they weren't destroyed because they were homosexuals.
Right.
They were destroyed because they were wicked.
Right.
They were evil. And in that evil, they had become homosexuals, which is not God's plan for anybody. But you know what? His plan wasn't divorce either.
Right.
And a great many people get divorced and still give their life to God and love God. God's plan isn't murder, but the Apostle Paul murdered Christians, and then he turned his life over to God.
Yep.
Why do we categorize certain people and decide they're hopeless when they're not?
Right.
And the point isn't the type of sin you're doing. The point is rejecting God.
Right.
The point is not repenting toward God, wanting God, choosing God. And I'm going to get more about that in a minute. But here he said to these people, these cities, if those other cities would have seen the mighty works that you have seen, if I would have gone there and done these mighty works in their cities, they would have repented. Not only would they have repented, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. You know, we have a modern day American civilized way of repenting, and it's not sackcloth and ashes. We repent as if choosing a new shirt. Yes, I think I'll start going to church. Yes, I think I'll become a Christian and go to church and do some good works and look really good to other people about how good I am and how clean I am now. But he said these people humbled themselves. They fell down. They would have fallen down. The very ones that we consider hopeless, deviated, evil, he said, had they seen what you have seen, they would have truly been humbled, broken, right down to fall down in the ashes saying, oh God, woe is me. I want you. I need to change. They would have really sought God with all their heart. But they didn't see the mighty works. So he said mighty works, if these mighty works had been done. By the way, I want to mention how much more evil did he make a picture here. He chose a couple of places that never repented. These towns he mentioned were all in Palestine, in Palestinia, Palestine. There we go, Palestine. They were Palestinians. What group of people are the most set against the people of God today? What country? What area?
Palestine.
Palestine. So the illustration was the haters of God who were anti-Israel, who wanted to destroy all God's people off the face of earth, would have repented had they seen these mighty works. So there is something people can see that will bring them to repentance, even the worst behaving people. There is something. So what is it? You know, true repentance is humility. God is a humble God. And eternal life is really to know God. Not just know about him, but to intimately experience relationship. And I do want to take just a minute and explain something about God. He is so holy that he's like a bright, blinding light. He's so holy that he is literally a consuming fire. If we were to come too close to God in a non-repentant state, we would be ashes. We would be consumed, right, burnt up, and destroyed immediately. So the goodness of God is to come closer to us a little bit at a time. And that little bit of exposure shows us, reveals something in us that is not God's way. And we see it. And if we repent, that fire will purify us and burn that out of our life.
Right.
Then we can come closer to God.
Right.
But if we do not repent, it will consume us and destroy us. So God has to back up. Say, I can't come too close to you yet because you don't welcome my fire. You don't welcome my purity. You don't hunger to know me. You don't hunger for that knowing me. Heaven is full of the presence of God.
Right.
It's filled with this fire and this light and this consuming holiness and goodness. Nothing evil could enter into that and survive. If people went to heaven just doing whatever they want and still holding on to their sin, they wouldn't exist.
Right.
So the goodness of God is giving us a chance, little by little, to come closer and closer as he transforms us to be able to exist in the full presence of God one day in heaven. It's awesome. I love it. I love it. It's not that God has just got an attitude about sin. He is anti-sin. He's good.
Right.
He has no choice. It's not like he can turn down the flame, turn off the light. He can't. And he wants us to be there with him. So we have to change, not him. Not him.
Right.
And only he can change us.
Right.
I just want to throw that in the middle of it. But what were some of the mighty works that he did? In the first half of that scripture in 11:5, the first part says, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up. Those are mighty works, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you think that people would turn to God if all of a sudden their loved dead person is laying there and Jesus said, rise up and live again? Do you think that would make that living person say, I repent of all my sin and I want God?
No.
It wouldn't. It didn't. He's in a city that saw all of this and still did not repent. There were, you know, when he healed the lepers, he healed 10 lepers. Wasn't it 8 of them?
9
of them didn't even say thank you.
Right.
One turned back to thank him and praise him. Only one. Mighty works like that do not save a person.
Right.
And Lazarus, who died and went to hell and was speaking to Abraham, who wasn't in hell, but there was a gulf between them, and he said, just let me go back from the dead and warn my brothers. Let somebody, anybody, not even me, anybody who's been dead and they know what this is, go warn my brothers. And they said, if they do not believe Moses and the prophets, the word of God, They wouldn't even believe if a dead person came. And you know, I thought about that because we're going to see the dead raised.
Right.
And I'm not talking about resurrection morning. We're going to see a move of God where we're going to see these mighty works. We're going to see the deaf hear, see the blind see the lame walk. We're going to see the dead raised. It's not even a big deal for God to do
right.
that.
Of course.
And we're going to see that again. And yet many people won't repent.
Right.
Many people didn't repent in his day when they saw that. So what is he talking about? Had they seen these great works, they would have repented. It wasn't what we just listed. These are side effects of the great work.
Exactly.
And it goes on to say, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's the great work right there. The presenting of Christ. The encounter of Christ.
Right.
I don't know when you got prayed for this morning if you felt the presence of God. I don't know if you felt the peace, if you felt the presence, if you felt the love. But once you have encountered him, you've experienced him. That's what makes you want more.
Right.
That's what makes you fall in love. That's what makes you say, something in me just came alive.
Yep.
Alive to who, not only who he is, but to who I am.
Right.
Has come alive. And I need more. Everything you are begins to crave all that he is.
Amen.
And that's the great work that would have turned those cities to salvation. That's the greatest work.
Amen.
Not the other miracles.
Right.
Those miracles are calling cards. They drew the crowd. Then the gospel was preached. Look at Matthew 11:20. Then began Jesus to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. He began telling them, I came here doing mighty works. And you rejected me. You still didn't repent. You didn't turn toward God. It is the presence of Jesus that would turn them. I want you to look at verse 7 through 11 in Matthew. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. I want us to look first at John. What went you out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken with the wind? No. What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yeah, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way, Jesus, before Jesus' face, which will prepare Jesus' way before him. God sent a messenger to prepare the people before they could encounter Jesus.
Right.
There was something they had to know first. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Now, they rejected. They went off to hear a prophet. They went, hey, there's a man of God. He's weird. I mean, he doesn't live in a house. He doesn't live in the city. He doesn't eat our kind of food. The man eats locusts. That's a bug. And he lives out there in these old torn ratty clothes. And he preaches down by the river out there in the wilderness. And he's weird. Let's go take a look at him. Let's go see if he's really from God. Now, they hoped he was from God. Some people come to church and they hope that the preacher will say everything they can agree with. They hope the preacher will say what they're wanting to hear. But John didn't. John didn't do that. John preached hard truth and hard repentance. John, to me, pictures the Old Testament preparing us for Christ to come. The Old Testament showed us a holy, holy God. No compromise here. You sin, you die. You die, you go to hell. You sin, there's punishment. God is not making deals with you.
No.
It presented the pure, holy goodness of God. You cross that line, you cross God's lines, you break God's rules, there is punishment. There is death, and there is a hell. Now, he was still a loving, compassionate God, but it pictured a father who did not compromise his holiness.
Right.
He couldn't. Now, John, that's what John preached. He said, repent! The kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is coming. Christ is coming. Repent. Because he can't come to you if you're not in an attitude of repentance about your sin.
Right.
Now, people come out there like King Herod, and he said, what do you say to me? I'm a king. What do you say to me? He said, I'll tell you, stop sleeping with your brother's wife.
Right.
Well, how dare you? He's the one that arrested him and cut his head off.
Right.
Shot him up, cut that head off. When people read the Old Testament and they see the laws of God, how holy and pure and good they are, human nature goes, I can't keep those laws. No, you can't. But at least you need to know they exist, what they are, and that there is penalty, punishment, if you don't keep them. Why do you need to know that? Because you need to know you need a Savior.
Amen.
So that when he comes, you're ready to say, oh, save me, I have all this sin, and I need your salvation. So John was that kind of preacher. They heard him, but they didn't listen to him. He said, you ignored him. Now, the second thing that people wanted, let's look at Matthew 11, 16 through 18. We'll see the two things they wanted. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, the other humans, and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. Now John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a devil. See, with John coming and speaking truth, and they're going, John, come on, lighten up, buddy. Lighten up, religion. Don't keep telling me what my sin is. I just want God to bless me. I just like God. I like good things. But you know what? We like to party, and we like to do what we want to do. We like to have fun. And God, we just want you to come and have fun with us. Be a part of us. Do what we do. Hang out with us and bless our life. John didn't go for that. John wanted to point out their sin. They said, oh, woe is me. I've had a bad life. You know, everybody's picked on me. Nobody likes me. Everything in my life is hard. And John said, back off the self-pity. He didn't feel sorry for them. They said, what did they want from a friend? Somebody to hang out with them, enjoy life with them, and somebody who could heal their broken heart. Who could heal their broken heart? Other people can't heal your broken heart.
Right.
You can share it with them over and over and over, but they can't heal your broken heart. So they wanted those two things. They didn't find it in John. John condemned them. John told them that they were sinners. So they said, that man's got a devil in him. He's just mean as a rattlesnake. All he wants to do is tell us what's wrong with us. We don't like John. He's too hard for us. But then they didn't find it in Jesus either. What did they find in Jesus? Let's look at 19. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Now, Jesus came in a whole different way. He came to tell them there's hope. He came right where they were at, right in the midst of their sin. Why do you think they called him a pig and a drunk? They said he's a piggish eater and he's a drunk. That wasn't true. But he hung out with people who were.
Right.
He went to where they were doing it.
Right.
He probably walked right into the bar where they were drinking, but he didn't drink it. He walked right into the party, and he spoke to them his love. He went where they were to find the sinners.
Right.
Now, the religious people didn't like it.
Right.
They said, you ought not be hanging out there. That's where we ought be hanging out.
Right.
We need to go where they are
right.
and take his love and
right.
offer his rescue
right.
and his mercy. And yes, what John said is true, but there's a solution for you.
Right.
God loves you. He'll pay for all that sin. And then he wants you to know him. Deep, intimate fellowship with him. Relationship. Not just rule keepers.
Right.
Not just rule keepers. And that's what he said. If Sodom and Gomorrah had met Jesus, if they had had an opportunity for one man to walk into that town and say, God loves you. One man to come and say, I know you have a broken heart. Let me heal it. Let me show you this love of Christ. And it would have met that deep need, and they would have gone, who is this man? They would have repented. You know why I'm bringing this today? We're going to see a mighty move of God coming. And we saw mighty moves of God before. And what happened? People got sidetracked with the sidetrack of it.
Right.
They got caught up in the miracles.
Right.
I mean, for a while, all we heard was, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed, be healed, be healed. Nobody was saying, no, Jesus. They were caught up in that miracle that was meant to be a drawing card. And they weren't preaching the gospel.
Right.
They weren't offering the presence of the loving God to people. We can't do that again. We need to keep our focus in this next move that we are to kick out pride. Stop worrying about what they think about me. Stop worrying, do they like me or not like me? They offended me. Well, they don't move first, I don't move. Well, what do they think about me? I don't know. They were rude to me. They hurt me. They offended me. They're going to.
Yes.
They're sinners, and so are we.
Yes.
We hurt and offend and rude. We do those things to one another. But the love of Christ has to break past those barriers and be set free. Your love's not enough. My love's not enough. Because I'm not just talking about, can your child, your grandchild, your best friend come to Christ? Yes. So can your enemy.
Right.
So can everyone.
Right.
So can the whole homosexual community.
Right.
So can child abusers. So can murderers. So can the prostitutes and the divorced and the haters. They can, because down inside of them is a spirit created in the reflection of God.
Yes.
That's crying. Why don't you mourn with me? Why don't you grieve with me? Why don't you care about me? There's somebody saying, know me, care about me. And only Jesus can reach that level.
Right.
And that's where repentance is born. Repentance is not trying to do better, trying to live better, add some new rules to your life, try harder. Repentance is turning toward God.
Right.
How are they going to turn toward him if he's not there?
Right.
If they don't sense his presence, if they don't know that love. When we're looking at him, we're going, what do you think of me? I'm not going to open up to you. You might hurt me. You hurt me before. No. It has to be, I don't care if you offend me. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I just want to release Christ to
Amen.
You. I want to release Christ to you. Pride is always me, me, me. I walk in the room with, what do you think about me? What do I want? What do I feel? What do I think? What about my rights? Pride, 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 pride blocks Jesus. We need to be willing to be humbled. God, grant me the repentance that takes me down to the sackcloth and ashes.
Amen.
Because I want you to be free to
Amen.
Live and love through me
Amen.
And win the lost.
Right.
I want that. I want that in my life. My flesh fights against it every day and wins frequently. When people say I'm selfless, I'm sorry, I ought not lie. Jay comes over and tells our cat she's so good, and I tell him, you need to stop lying to her. That cat needs repentance.
That's right.
I'm not selfless. I'm not, and you're not. We are selfish.
Yep.
To the bone.
That's right.
But that's only because that's flesh.
Right.
We're not selfish in spirit.
Right.
We're just like God in spirit.
Right.
And the devil only wants to affect our flesh and live out his pride and selfishness through us. Let's stop letting him. Let's just stop letting him do it. Let's let Jesus shine through.
Amen.
His love will reach beyond any limits. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. That used to scare me. Because I was a newer Christian and I didn't love anybody. I mean, I was with Roxanne's initial, you know, I don't like people. Because people hadn't liked me. So I didn't like them first. It was safer that way. You know, if you like them, you get hurt. I didn't like anybody. Including me. So when I read that verse after I fell in love with Jesus and it said, wow, you know, if I don't love other people, I don't really know God. I must not be saved. No, it doesn't say that you are not saved. It says you don't know him. You haven't intimately had an exchange of relationship with love that has transformed your heart and expanded your ability to love, because after you've been loved, you can love.
Right.
So it's saying get to know your God.
Amen.
Get to know him.
Amen.
Then love will possess your heart.
Right.
And then you will be able to love. Christian, if you aren't loving other people, You don't know God well enough yet.
Right.
Get to know him better.
Amen.
He is love. And who doesn't want to be loved? Well, look at that. I ran out of words. I think we're done. Just ran out of any more typed words, so I've nothing else to say. Except there's a move of God coming.
Yes.
And getting ready for it means getting humbled, means getting real, means getting rid of the pride, getting rid of the fear, because perfect love casts out fear. See, when I'm walking in his love, I don't have to fear if somebody's going to hurt me. I know who's going to heal me.
Right.
Go ahead and step on my toes. I got 10 of them. You only got one. You only stepped on one. No. God, the healer, his healing is so awesome that makes you willing to risk getting hurt again.
Right.
So that's it today. Let's just learn to love. Let's get to know God better. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. This has been an amazing, wonderful, awesome morning. We love you so much. Get us ready, Lord. Get us ready. Grant us repentance. It is the goodness of God that leads you to repent. God, you are so good. If we just focus on you, know you, love you, repentance would follow. Help us to do that. Draw us to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.